Thank you for all that special music tonight. I enjoyed that very much. If you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. I'm sorry. I have a bunch of slides for you tonight. I actually was gone this last week on a little vacation. And we had a lot of fun. We had Vacation Bible School was going to be this last week, and Diane, that's my wife, she had already taken time off from her work at the hospital, and instead of trying to fix all that, we decided, well, she has the time off, we'll go and take a little vacation. And so I know some of you knew that, and we're praying for us. Thank you. We just went up to Tennessee and rented a little cabin up there for a few days, and it was very nice, very secluded, and it was quite a steep drive up to this house. When we first went up, I said, I hope we can breathe when we get up to this place. And so we got there the first night, and the next day we went out to take a hike, and we took a hike to go see a waterfall called Rainbow Falls, and it's supposed to be beautiful. When we get there, we found from where you park to get up there is 2.7 miles one way, and very steep. And it's not a path either. It's walking up stairs and rocks, and it was hard. We had to stop and do the old person rest. If somebody come walking up behind us, we'd go to the side, go ahead. And so we could rest for a few minutes and let them go by. And we said, gosh, it can't be much further. This is terrible. We were getting all sore. And so we see somebody coming down that obviously had been up there. Is it nice? Yes, it's nice. How far? Oh, we're 25 minutes. So we walk about 10 minutes more, and somebody else comes down. And, hey, that's good. Is it much farther? They say it's 25 minutes. And it must have had like four different people tell us 20 or 25 minutes, and it was a lot longer than that. We finally got there, and it was nice. We didn't see a rainbow on the falls, but it was a nice place. Then we had to walk down, which was very painful. And so we get back to finally make it back to our cabin. We can barely walk. It was very strenuous. And Diane says, well, they have a jacuzzi here at a cabin we rented. I'd never been in a jacuzzi before. I didn't know if a Baptist preacher can go to a jacuzzi. I didn't know if you could do that. And I said, well, I'll be a Presbyterian tonight because I really need something to make me feel better. And so so we got into this jacuzzi thing, and we'd only been there a few minutes. And I said, hey, look, there's a bear. And a bear walked right into our yard. I said, Lord's getting me. It's like Elisha and the she-bears. I got in the jacuzzi, and now the bear's going to maul me for getting in here. And so it was right. It was a nice bear. And so we did that, and we saw some other falls through the week, and we had a great time. I didn't get eaten by a bear. I did get eaten by some ticks on the last day they were there. We were there. I convinced Diane to let me drive a few hours over to the Bill Rice Ranch, where I go every once a year to go metal detecting. I like that they have some old places on the property, but it's kind of grown up because of summertime. And so I probably had like a dozen ticks on me when I came back. And so I didn't get eaten by the bear, but I did get eaten by the ticks. And it ticks me off. Okay, now, Joshua chapter 1, a very familiar passage of God challenging Joshua and encouraging Joshua. And instead of reading the whole passage beginning from verse 1, we're just going to focus in on verse 7. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant... I'm blinded. You know, it is encouraging. Before I'll go back to reading this passage, I've been doing Wednesday night services, and you know, when we do Sunday services, when pastor's preaching, there'll be a few of us sitting out here. I come to do announcements, and Justin will be here, and a few other people. But on Wednesday night, most of the time when I get up to start talking, there's only one person in the whole, besides our sound guys, it's just one person, and it's dark. And it's very unusual. to talk to an empty room. And now maybe the room will be empty before I finish tonight. I don't know. But let's get back to the scriptures here. And let's get in verse 7 again. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We're going to talk about tonight success in ministry. It's interesting. This is our first day back. What would be considered successful for our ministry? You know, we have been praying and talking about what's going to happen when we can start meeting together again. And really, you don't know for sure. Will everybody come back? You know, some might say, hey, you know, I can just keep my pajamas on and stay home and watch church on TV. So are people going to come back? And if they don't, is that mean we're not a successful ministry? And we're going to talk about what means to be truly successful as a ministry. Also, I want to tell you that some of these principles apply to us personally. Do you want to be successful in our Christian life? And, you know, you listen to so-called experts for the coronavirus, they say, well, things are never going to be the same. Has anybody heard that comment? It's never going to be the same. Well, that could be true, but I think things could be the same. But I promise you this, as a ministry here at First Baptist Land Lakes, we can still be a successful ministry if things are not the same. If we don't have the same amount of people or the same people or are able to do as much as we did before this. You know, God knows what's going to happen. We don't. But we can be successful. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with wanting a successful church, right? Right here in this verse, it says, thou shalt have good success. That's God's promise. And so we want to be successful as a ministry. And I hope your desire as a individual believer is to be successful in your Christian life. But we want to first just remind you about things that are not a reflection of success. And the first one I just want to remind you of, don't be confused. Success is not reflected by numbers. How many people we have at any church, even, you know, if there was no coronavirus. But numbers are not a reflection of success. You know, Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 people were saved. He preached again in chapter 3, 5,000 people were saved. Well, if you look in Acts 7, Stephen preached, no one got saved, and they stoned him. And so was Stephen not a success in what he was doing for the Lord? And no, he was a success. And we're going to tell you what success is in God's eyes, I believe, in just a moment. But success is not reflected by numbers. How many realize there are big churches? Lots of people. How many realize that there are small churches? You know, you go up in the mountains, you'll see churches on about every corner, and they are tiny. Even if the church was full, I don't know if you could have more than 80 people in it. Or can they be successful with 80 people? And of course, yes, because success is not a reflection of how many people. Second thing, success is not reflected by accomplishment. You know, think about the Apostle Paul, all the things that he accomplished, all the places he went, miracles he did. God used him to write a lot of the books of the New Testament. He's very successful. Then you read about maybe Priscilla and Aquila, and it mentions them, but they didn't do all that. Were they not successful? And so success is not measured by accomplishment. I believe our ministry has accomplished a lot of things. You know, I came here when I was a boy. The sanctuary was just the middle part of it. Right to the side of that was an orange grove. It didn't have where it's called the Douglas Building, but it was a wood building. Now, where we were in the, just in the mountains, it was more of a tourist trap area between Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. You know, anybody familiar with those places? They're very touristy. Mountain town, they're not in a hurry to do anything. You go, come on, you know, come on. But because we live in that kind of society, you know, I want it right now. But success is not reflected by, in a sense, time. Are we not going to be successful as a church if we don't, everybody starts coming back and it starts filling up quickly? I want you to think about this. Peter, in Acts 3, and I read his sermon. His sermon, as I read it, 2 minutes and 5 seconds, and 5,000 people were saved. That's pretty fast results time-wise. Noah preached 120 years, and nobody responded. Was Noah not a success in what he did? And so success is not reflected by time. And lastly, success is really not reflected by finances. Church in Jerusalem, the early church, they were poor. That's where the church started. You think, man, they'd have everything. And they were poor. But were they successful or not successful? It's not a matter of finances. Does it make you successful? A big church might have a lot of finances. A little teeny church might not have much. But success is not measured by this. So the question is, what is success in ministry? Well, it's not determined by men. If you want to turn there, you can. You don't have to. I'm going to read it for you. Psalm 60. While I was up in the mountains and reading my Bible, I came across this verse. And I just wanted to throw it in here because it really spoke to me about this whole coronavirus thing. And what you listen to, all the ideas and things that people put out. And I just thought this was very appropriate. And of course, with the situation now, with the protests and the riots and things like that, what do we do? What do we do? Look in Psalm 61, verse 11. The psalmist says, give us help for trouble, for vain is the help of man. So, you know, God is the one who determines what success in ministry is. He's the one who determines it, not man. Men are blinded by many things. Why? By money. You know, the church has a lot of money, they're successful. They got a lot of people, they're successful. And they get blinded by these things. And really, God is the one who determines what success is. It's not determined by ourselves. You know, maybe in your heart you feel like, what would make a successful church? What would make it really good? Well, we can be blinded too, right? We can be blinded by numbers of people and what's happening. And of course, it's not determined by comparison. We shouldn't compare ourselves to another ministry. This is the ministry God give us here. And don't say, well, you know, we're not doing what that church is doing. More people came back or they did that. Don't compare ourselves to someone else. If you don't get anything else, you need to, this next statement. Success in ministry is determined by God, and the standard for success is faithfulness. Faithfulness. And that's the same thing is true for our Christian life. There's a lot of things that we could accomplish, and there's nothing wrong with accomplishing things, but success is determined by God, and God's standard for being successful is faithfulness. Faithfulness. That's what God says in Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to go back and look at those verses in just a moment. That's what determines success, is what God says and what God is looking for. He's looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness. You will be a success. You'll have success in God's eyes. And by the way, that's all that counts, isn't it? God in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Nowhere in the Bible does God say, well, your church is doing good, or you're doing good if you lead thousands to the Lord. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with leading thousands to the Lord. And we hope our ministry would do that. But that's not God's determination. It's being faithful. Faithful to his word. And again, we'll talk more about this and give you some details. But be faithful to his word. Be faithful to him. Believe, but trust him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We want to. How many would agree we want as a ministry to please God? Without faithfulness, we cannot please him. We cannot please him. So we want to have success in God's eyes. And faithfulness is what's required. That is true success. Now you might be saying, I understand what you're saying, but is there anything practical? I like to come to church and get something practical. Well, we're going to give you several steps to ministry success. And a lot of these steps are the same thing we can apply to our individual lives to be faithful. And so I encourage you to, you know, you can mark these down, or again, we're not able to. Y'all got the lights on, so you can see your, now that I'm encouraged now, you can see your Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. Hold your place in Joshua. We'll come back. I was going to read a lot of these because I know it's hard to see in the dark. How many had trouble seeing in the dark? You know, I don't know about you, but how many ever gotten sleepy in church before? Now, come on, be honest. How many of you have gotten sleepy? So if it was cool and now dark with nice padded seats, how many of you think I could be in trouble? You could be okay. I see an honest person back there. So practical steps to ministry success. And here's the first one. Number one, if we want to be a successful ministry, which again is faithfulness, and these are some things that we can be faithful in as a ministry and as people, those that know Christ, is number one, a ministry devoted to the glory of God. A ministry devoted to the glory of God. A very familiar verse 31, 1 Corinthians 10, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, what does it say? Do all to the glory of God. Anything that we accomplish here as a church, who should get the credit for us? It's God. Yeah, you know, we're so thankful to God be the glory that we're able to open our doors and have people come back in. And we ought to be excited. It's not because, woo, aren't we smart? Isn't the pastor and the church leadership smart how they figured out what to do? No, God is the one that deserves the credit. And we ought to give him the glory. And a ministry that wants to be successful is a ministry that they want the honor, the glory, and the praise, and the credit to be given to God. By the way, that's why we do certain things we do. Why... no robes, you know, we don't come out here in some kind of robe and preach to you in a robe like it's something special. Why? Because we don't want glory to go to the preacher. We want it to go to the Lord. And that's a successful ministry that gives the honor and glory to the Lord. By the way, that's we don't tell you you can't applaud, but we don't encourage applause for like a special. When somebody sings a special, why? Because that's giving glory to them. When the glory should be to who? To God. And so we want a ministry that everything we do brings honor and glory to God. And by the way, if you're involved in a ministry, be involved, but not to be seen or because it makes you important. You're involved in a ministry to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always encouraging if you speak or do anything, if somebody comes up and says, Ben, you did a great job. That's nothing wrong with telling someone that, but I try to make it a practice. Well, praise the Lord. You know, he helped me be able to do this or to do that. Give him the credit. And in our Christian lives, we ought to be people that always give the credit to the Lord. Well, hey, you've got a nice home here. Well, praise the Lord. You know, God's blessed me and allowed me to have this home or have this car or whatever it is. You can sing good. And you say, well, hey, you really sing good. Well, God gave me that. It's not me. It's the Lord. So give him the credit. Basically, what a ministry needs is that I call it the John the Baptist attitude. I must decrease, but he must increase. And so a ministry that's devoted to the glory of God is a ministry that is successful. Secondly, a successful ministry is a ministry saturated with the word of God. If you held your place back in Joshua, go back to Joshua chapter 1. We see the emphasis on the word of God. You need a church to be successful. We need to be faithful, and that's the key, faithfulness to God's word, to always teach it, to always preach it, to make it front and center what we do to help people, help the lost know how to be saved, help Christians know how to live. And the Word of God is essential. Verse 7, again, it says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, thou mayest observe to do according to all the law," basically what the Bible they had at the time, "which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." So verse 7, it first tells us to observe to do according to all the law. That means do what the Bible says. As a ministry, if we want to be successful, we need to say, do what the Bible says we ought to do. And then it says, don't turn from the right or the left. That means stick to it. Stick to the Word of God. Share the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. I encourage you, you know, everything's been chip-chopped up. Don't forget about Sunday school time. If you have children, get them to watch the children's Sunday school. Until what time we will have regular Sunday school. Come in and hear the Sunday school class or listen to it on live stream. Don't neglect, I'll just listen to church service. Well, that's good. You ought to listen to church service, but don't forget Sunday school. Why? Because we need to saturate ourselves to the Word of God and stick to it. Then it tells us in verse 8 to meditate. That means think about it. Think about it. Meditate on the Word of God. And then it says, again, to observe to do it. That means do it some more. So we need to do it. We need to stick to it. We need to meditate and think about it. And we need to do it some more. And that is a successful ministry, a ministry of the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of churches with a lot of good programs, but they're not a successful ministry if they don't emphasize the Word of God and teach it and preach it. You know, and you'll see a lot of other things go on. But a successful ministry is one that's faithful to proclaiming the Word of God. How many of you realize sometimes ministries run into problems? You ever? Sometimes it's problems with those you're ministering to. You know, someone in the church has a problem. Sometimes it's troubles in ministries with people you're working with. Sometimes there's problems with yourself. But you know where the answer is to all those problems? It's the Word of God. And that's what people need help. Right now, it is really, in our country, is a desperate time, isn't it? People are scared about the coronavirus thing, and they're fearful about that and what's going to happen. And it kind of seems like that's easing just a little bit. And then all of a sudden now these protests and the riots and the looting, and it's man, this is scary. Well, we have an answer. And the answer is God and His Word. And people are looking for answers. You know, there's a lot of good things we can do, and we should do it to help people. But there's no bigger help a church can give people than teaching the Word of God. That has the answers for people and has the answers for a ministry. So a successful ministry is one that's saturated with the Word of God. Here's the third thing a successful ministry needs to be faithful in, and that is prayer. That is prayer. Jacob, in Genesis 32, verse 26, says, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." In other words, Lord, I'm praying. I need this. And he said, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. And that should be our attitude in the ministries, that we just need to pray and keep praying. Praying for what God, we need your help. And it could be individual things for healing or to help for a person. Or, you know, we pray for help for a ministry. Don't give up praying for our missionaries. But you hang on to God and say, God, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. A successful ministry is a ministry that's successful in prayer. And don't just pray at the start. You know, coronavirus came, and maybe you prayed about that, but now you're not praying about it. Keep praying. Don't give up. Hold on to God. Don't just pray when problems come. You know, you ought to pray just as hard when you don't have any problems. You know how earnest we can be when there's something serious going on. We ought to be earnest to pray the same way when there's no problems. Don't just pray for yourself, but pray for others. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your Sunday school teachers. And don't give up. So a successful ministry is a ministry that's faithful in prayer. And again, what's the key to success? It's not numbers or money or time or any of those things. God says it's being faithful. Will we be faithful in this area of prayer? Will we be faithful in giving the glory to God? And so, got a couple more I just want to share with you. A successful ministry is a ministry of trust and believing God. Trust and believing God. We're going to do a whirlwind tour here. Look in Isaiah 55. And if I start reading it before you get there, just stop and listen if you haven't found it, Isaiah 55. And what do you mean by a ministry of trust and believing God? You know, we spoke about this on Wednesday night. I spoke about trusting God. And it's an important thing. Do we really trust God? You know, when coronavirus comes and maybe you get sick or you've lost your job, will you trust God? A successful ministry, that the people in the church and the leadership of the church trust God. The same thing for a Christian life as individuals. Will you trust God? Will you believe, will you have confidence in what he says and what he promises? Here's one, Isaiah 55, verse 11, very familiar. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing thereto I sent it." This goes back to being a church that's faithful to the word of God. Hey, let's stick to it, because his word will not return void. And so will we believe that what God says? Well, I don't know. Maybe we ought to do more things. Maybe we ought to have interpretive dance on the stage and do all that kind of stuff. No, we need to preach the word. If we only had more money, if we only had more money, think of the things we could do. Just think of it. As brother, his name just went out of my mind. Ron Merrill. He would say something, you know, that was, we'd want the Lord to do, and he'd go, think of it. Just think of what we could do if we had more money. No, you know what? To be successful as a ministry, we need the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And by the way, we have that, don't we, as a church? Now, God's blessed this church financially, but that's not what's needed to make an impact in the world. We need to be faithful in preaching the Word of God, believing that it will not return void. Do you believe that? A successful ministry is one that believes that the word will not return void. Look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke in your New Testament. Luke chapter 12. And in Luke chapter 12, in verse 12, he talked about going out and standing for the Lord and speaking for the Lord. And I like this verse 12. It says, "For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." Well, we believe that God, through the Spirit of God, will give us the words we need to say. You know, a lot of times we're scared to speak up for the Lord, right? I don't know what I do. I don't know what to say. Well, God says he'll give us the words to say. Do you believe that? I mean, I've talked myself out of that many a time. What to say? Well, you just go and start talking, sharing the scripture, and God will help you what to say. Do you believe that? He'll put the words in our mouths. He'll put the words in our mouths. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So are we a ministry? Are you a person that believes what God promises? He promised it that if we, his word won't return void. He'll help us with what to say as we try to talk to people about the Lord. And in Romans chapter 1, you got John, Acts, and Romans. This is a great verse. It says in verse 16, Romans 1, verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And so, do you believe that the gospel is the power, not me? The power is in the message, not us as people. I don't know if I could share the gospel with someone. Well, do you believe that the power is in the message? And that's why we share the gospel here at the church all the time. Because we believe that's the power of God into salvation. That Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And he offers salvation freely to those that will put their trust in him, to believe that he died for them. And when we do that, the person is saved. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, it just doesn't seem to work. If you give the gospel, people will be saved. Sometimes you say, well, I, you just said no, preached 120 years, and nobody got saved. But, you know, I think Noah's family were saved. Someone was saved. If you'll share the gospel, even though you're scared, so, well, God said to help me with the words, and the power's in the message, not me. I'm going to believe that, and I'm going to share that with others. Look at in Romans chapter 8, something else that we need to believe, especially in the way our direction our world seems to be going in. In Romans 8, verse 31, it says, "What shall we say then? Or what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Do you believe that those who oppose us cannot win? Do you realize there are elements in this world that would be against us as a church? Do you understand that? You turn on TV, they wouldn't be for us as a church. Well, a successful ministry says, yes, I know people are against us, but in the end, they're not going to win. And that was already determined when Jesus died and rose from the dead. If God be for us, who can be against us? And it's very discouraging. How many, you don't have to raise your hand, but you know, you see some of the things going on in society and the world, and you probably don't even see half of them that are terrible, very discouraging. But you know what? That sinful way of living is not going to win in the end. I saw a video of someone that told a person to get down on their knees and pledge, you know, that we were wrong all these years, and it was terrible. I was saying, you know, you'd like to think of what you do. I would have said, the Bible says that I'm not to bow down to you, but one day you and me are going to bow down, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And that kind of stuff is scary. But you know what? That they're not going to win. They're not. We're on the winning side. Can everybody say amen to that? And so the successful ministry realizes that those that oppose us cannot win. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says that our labor is not in vain. Do you believe that? How many realize we do a lot of things at the church here? So disappointed we didn't get to do Vacation Bible School this year. How many else were disappointed? I was disappointed. I love Vacation Bible School. And it's a lot of work and it's a lot of labor. But you know what? Your labor for the Lord's never in vain. And a successful ministry is faithful that I'm going to labor. God deserves my best, considering what he's done for me. And I'm going to labor for him. But I realize our labor's not in vain, because that's what he said. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says he'll never leave us or forsake us. Do you believe that? Sometimes you feel like the Lord's forsaken me. But successful ministry and a successful Christian says, you know, no matter what happens, God is always there with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. So a successful ministry is a ministry of trust or believing God. And that's so important. And number five, I don't know if you remember them. I don't know if I even told you the numbers. I didn't even know if I could count. I have some grandchildren that are not even 2 years old yet that can count probably better than I can. I was in school. I had a lot of trouble in school. I don't know. A teacher asked me to count. And I said, one, two, three, four, five. And she said, well, can you count higher? And I said, yes, one, two, three, four, five times. That's, some of you probably have heard that joke five times. Now, number five, a ministry with a message for the lost world. And do we have a message? And of course, the message is the good news of the gospel. A successful ministry is a ministry that shares the gospel, that reaches out in the community and in the world. That's why I believe we're a successful ministry here, because we try to share the gospel here every opportunity to those that come in our different ministries. And we're successful because we support missions, getting the gospel out. We're faithful to giving the gospel. What is the standard of success for God? It's faithfulness. Faithfulness in giving out the gospel. So the question tonight is, are we successful here? If this is all that ever comes back to church, this is our Sunday night crowd from now on. And I don't believe that it is. As people get feeling more secure, they're going to come back. And I think things will be getting back to almost normal in a number of weeks or months. But what if they didn't? Can we still be a successful ministry? Yes, if we'll be faithful ministry. If we'll faithfully give God the glory. If we'll faithfully preach the word. If we'll faithfully pray as a ministry. If we'll faithfully just believe what God promises as a church. And if we'll faithfully give out the gospel, we will truly be a successful ministry. And by the way, that's the same for us as individuals. Let's give God the glory in our lives, what God's done. Let's be faithful to His word. Let's be faithful in giving out the gospel. Let's be faithful in prayer. And folks, I can't encourage you enough, and this is hard. This is easy preaching, hard living. Let's be faithful to believing and trusting in what God says. And that'll be such a help to us. God's said to Joshua, if you'll do these things, your way will be prosperous, and then you will have what? Success. So if we want to be successful, let's be faithful people. If we want to be successful as a church, let's be a faithful church to those things. And I think we'll see God continue to do great things. To do great things. And I want to thank y'all for coming tonight. I know this is our first Sunday night of doing this. I want to encourage you to come on Wednesday. And what we'll do on Wednesday, it will be live stream. You could watch it at home. But if you want to come Wednesday, should have plenty of room. And we'll have a Bible study time. And then we'll have a prayer time. We'll still send out prayer things over to you by email. So you get the prayer request things there. And we probably won't, because we're trying not to hand out paper, won't have them here. So if you get them at home, if you want to print them out so you can pray for those things, just encourage you to do that. I encourage you to, we made a big emphasis on the Word of God. The Bible Institute is always a good thing, another way to learn some of God's Word. And that'll be sent out, the different classes that are available, and a way for you to sign up for those. And that'll begin in a few Wednesday nights, I think the 24th. And we'll be here you can come to the service, 10 o'clock for adult Sunday school time, 11 o'clock service, and the 6 o'clock service, and a 7 o'clock Wednesday night. And I'm just excited to see you. And I'm glad you're here. How many are glad that they're here? It's exciting. Now, can I be honest with you too? And we'll wrap it up. It with having nobody here, it got to be, like Sunday morning, this is great. Because after I do the announcements or read the scripture, there wouldn't hardly be anybody here. I'd go over to the side, and I had my McDonald's sweet tea, and I could take my shoes off. And I said, "Hey, this could get pretty cushy here, but you know what? There's nothing like God's people. Amen. And being here. And if you want to take your shoes off, though, that's okay. Just let me remind you, don't go into the jacuzzi, okay? Because the bears will come out and get after you. No, jacuzzi's fine. I don't know. I just never been in one. How many have been in a jacuzzi? I just... God was watching you. There'll be a bear in your yard when you get home. So, thank you for coming. And keep praying for the church. And as we try to figure out the best way to operate and what to do, you know, we want to do what's right. And mostly for God. We want to please God with what we're doing. And we want to help people, encourage people. So be praying for wisdom for that. Also be praying for our sanctuary remodel. I don't know when we'll exactly be in there. We're making plans for that. And it's a few more things to be done in there. And you say, "Well, I'd like to go look." It'll cost you $10. If you give Terry Templeton $10, he might open the door and let you in. But we'll have a nice Sunday when we open that back up. So let's bow and ask the Lord to bless. You bow your head and close your eyes. And just let me say, you know, I know everybody here, I recognize everybody here, and they have a testimony that they have trusted Christ as their Savior. But maybe somebody's listened to us on live stream, or maybe you've been here a million times and there's never been a time you put your faith in Christ as your only hope for heaven. And we want to be faithful in getting out the gospel. And so, you know, what is the gospel? Well, 1 Corinthians 15 says the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. You know, we're sinners and we owe a debt to God because of our sin. And the truth of the matter is there's nothing we could do to pay that debt. That's why Jesus came. He came to pay the debt that you and I owe because we're sinners. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died for us. And not only did he die for us and pay for all our sins, he rose from the dead to prove that he did exactly that. That he was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. That he had completely paid for all of our sins. And Christ did that for us. And he'll give you everlasting life if you would believe that. That's what John 3:16 says. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so, if the best you know how, you would believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and paid for your sins, and that he rose from the dead. And you put your trust in him as your only hope for heaven, God will give you everlasting life. I could not promise you that. That's God's promise from his word. And everlasting life is the only kind he gives. It's forever. So realizing that we're sinners, we can't save ourselves, and we're going to trust Christ to save us and give us everlasting life. And when we do that, the moment we do that, he does save us. He does give us everlasting life. So if you're listening to this tonight, you never have, put your trust in Christ as your Savior. If you don't know what to say, just say, "God, I don't understand everything, but I know I'm a sinner. And I know I deserve punishment. But I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe he paid for all of my sins. And right now, just the best to know how, I'm trusting in Jesus as my only hope for heaven." And if you'll trust him, he'll give you everlasting life. If you hear and you're under the sound of my voice tonight, you can now, after you're saved, you can live a successful Christian life. Part of that is making choices as an individual, but where you go to church, you want to go to church that is successful. What is the measure of success for a ministry? It's faithfulness. And so I encourage you and I encourage us as a local church to be faithful to God's word, be faithful to prayer, be faithful to give glory and honor to God. And God says our ministry and our individual lives will be a success. You know, God, that's God's promise. That's not mine. So I hope that's your heart's desire as a church or as an individual person tonight. Father, thank you so much for those promises you made to Joshua. And Father, help us realize that those are true. That if we'll observe to do according to the Bible, that our way will be prosperous and we will have success. Father, we ask you to bless our church. Father, we're kind of getting our feet back under us and starting to meet again. And Father, help us realize if we want to be successful as a local church, that we'll be faithful to those things. And then that is true success in your sight. Father, we ask you to bless each one. Give us safety as we travel home here in a few moments. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.